surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid it on him, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, when shall see his seed? He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus, you have borne our iniquities. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Mercy and justice are in your hands, and your grace abounds to many. Your love is everlasting, Father, and we thank you for this gift that is now within us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Before I get going on my sermon, you know, we're a body here. We're a family. Amen? Amen? And so I just want you to kind of know what's going on with people within your family, if you have not heard. This past Monday, one of our brothers, Michael Leonhardt, lost his mother. He is now an orphan. And he has services and things to have to put together to memorialize his mom. And yet his heart is grief-stricken. Loving Heavenly Father, we just pray your comfort upon our brother. We pray your special blessing upon him, Lord God, that you would, in this time of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that he would know that your rod and your staff are there to comfort him, and to guide him, and to lead him in all of his ways. Father, keep our brother protected, we pray. And we lift him up in our prayers before you, a most holy God who loves him so much. And you knew this day was coming. So you also have a bounty of grace and mercy to pour out upon Michael. Lord, lift him up, we pray today. In the power of your Spirit, lift him up. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, Bill Cobb, who serves on our elder board, our board of trustees, his wife received the news on Friday through some ordinary blood tests that she has acute bone marrow cancer. And so Dr. Patel, our local physician, has ordered a very progressive and aggressive treatment for her. And if you would please keep Brother Bill and his wife Judy in your prayers as they battle through this. Their marriage of 43 years needs to be strengthened in this trial. And that's what trials are for, right? To make us stronger. And the two shall be one. One other person within our family that we need to be concerned about is our sister Nancy Nichols. Nancy has recently started attending here, but she's just about to take off and take a little bit of a journey. And hopefully in that journey there will be some healing between her and her husband, who are divorced at this point in time, but who have come together through some conversations, and they are looking to see if there could possibly be some reconciliation there. And but also in that our sister has great discernment and protection so as not to be duped into a bad relationship again, which she had to leave, and it was very heartbreaking for her. And so, loving Heavenly Father, I just all of a sudden had a picture of a turtle in a shell. Nancy is that turtle, and the shell is your protection about her. That as she wanders about, and Lord, there's going to be a little bit of a direct route to Texas to see this ex-husband. That if it's your will and your desire for them to be reconciled, that Father, number one, you protect our sister against any other hurts. And that you show her divinely that this is your will for her life. And knit them back together if that be your will, Lord God. But if not, again, Father, we pray your protection upon our sister. She's so precious to us. And we thank you for her testimony of you in her life. Protect her, we pray, in all of her travels as she does this alone. She's not alone. Though she's alone in her truck, you are right there with her. Kind of like that bird riding on top of the turtle's shell. You're going to be with her, Lord God, and protecting her in all of her ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. You want more? Or should we stop there? You want to know more about your family? Okay. Well, I want you to welcome to our family a very special couple, Robert and Stella Lewis. Robert and Stella Lewis came to us. How did we meet? Oh, never mind. I remember now. They was just walking along the road, and I had just gotten my oil changed in my car, and they weren't exactly like in walking shoes or dress. And so I pulled up, and I just said, hey, you two look like you could use a ride. And without hesitation, I mean, y'all know me. You'd have some question about whether or not to get in my car, right? Victor, not so much enthusiasm there. But he turned to me and he says, we would love that. And it just so happened, I picked them up on the day of their 26th anniversary. And he was going to shower her with a dinner from Panda Express. And he did. But regardless of all that fol-de-rol, they've been homeless. They've been without work. And God has taken care of that this week. We've been praying for Robert and for Stella and for their 15-year-old son, Dante. They've been residing out in Spring Valley because of the grace of a woman there that has a husband who's a truck driver and is gone. And so for the husband, it was peace of mind that he had people around her. And for her, it was somebody to share the house with. But she doesn't play well with her toys, regardless. But they were blessed at their time of being there, and now they are blessed with the ability to manage an apartment, some apartment complexes, which they have been going down for some training to do that. And so they not only get a job that pays them, but they also get a place to stay. Woo-hoo! God is good. Amen? Amen. So welcome to our family. We embrace you and love you immensely. Now, one other, and this is a big prayer, okay? His name is Charles. And Charles was hospitalized Friday. And he's been having trouble with sleep at night, right? Yeah. Join me in prayer for God's healing upon Charles. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this life that has been genuinely yours for so many years. And Lord God, in the waning years of his life, would you give him strength and take the spirit of fear away from him, because you did not give him that. But you gave him a spirit of love, of power, and of sound mind. And let him rest his head upon his pillow tonight, full of your peace, full of your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then there's Brother George. This man is also not a part of the women's ministry, but he was here every day this week helping out with the rummage sale. And as he gave testimony to this morning in the prayer time, he walked more in this past week than he has in the last year. And all because we anointed him with oil, we prayed over him, and God has brought a wonderful healing touch to George, and we rejoice at that. Why do I talk about these types of things? Well, because it's about the history of us as a church body. It's the acts of God and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon his people who walk after his glory in faith every day. I also want you to celebrate something else. And that is the history of this church, that as of yesterday, Mountain Valley Church of God has been a church for 16 years. You see the Minklers here. Robert was just a little guy. Well, maybe he was about that high. Dave and Patty, Faye and Ken, Nancy and her very exhausted husband, Don, Shirley Chandler, backbone of our church, right? Yeah. These are people that had the vision to start the church here in Prescott Valley. And in faith, they stepped out from our sister church in Prescott to begin this work, which we began down actually in our lower building. It's called Noble Hall. And the reason why it's called Noble Hall, for some of you to understand, is that this work was began by a wonderful pastor. His name was Jim Noble. And in honor to his efforts in helping this church get organized, we named our lower building Noble Hall. So that's why when you go down there and you see that board over the kitchen entrance, Noble Hall, now you will understand That's an honor to the pastor that began this work. This October, it'll be my 16th year of being here as your pastor. And God has seen and has visited many times on this ministry His great power and definitely His supplication. There were times in our history that God just showed up amazingly. In fact, this very building that you sit in, the day that we were going to put down or asking the church for a decision whether or not to put $7,000 to hold this steel building for us. That morning, as the proposition went out to the church, because that's the kind of pastor I am, I want the church to be empowered with the ability to make the decisions about their church. Little did I know, I mean, we had the $7,000 in the building fund, so I thought this was just basically going to be asking God if and asking the approval of the people if we could take that money out of our building fund and put it towards holding the deposit on this building. However, God had a different plan. God showed up that morning. Can I hear an amen from those that were there? And there was a couple there who happened to be fiduciaries of an estate that they had just looked over and taken charge of. And they had come that morning with $5,000 to give to the building fund and another $2,000 to our operating fund, which Shirley will attest for me, we had just taken out our last $500 out of savings to keep us in the black. Is that the right term? Not the red, it's the black, right? When you're good. We had just taken our last $500 out of savings to keep the church finances floating, and they had a check for $2,000 to go towards those finances, $5,000 towards building fund. Well, that was fine, but we needed $7,000. God was so generous with the five. And we're hooping and hollering and celebrating that in our history, and lo and behold, Faye Lawrence lifts up her hands, and she goes, "Pastor, I didn't understand that this until right now, but my aunt and I, who talk all the time about the church, she goes, this week we didn't talk. She says, instead she sent a card, and inside that card was a check for $2,000 for our building fund." Sometimes God has a different plan than what we always see. And faith is doing what? Walking not by sight. Right? It's walking in the expectation that if God is in the ministry, God will provide for the ministry. Now I want to be real with you. April was one of our worst giving months since we have been in this building. I'm just being real. We had one of our lowest giving Sundays 2 weeks ago. The lowest that we've ever had since we've been in here. Surrender the tithes unto the Lord, folks. Now we know that God is good and God has blessed us greatly. Now, something else I want you to be aware of. We used to share our property with the Anglican Church. We are no longer doing that. There's no fight in between us or anything. It's just we wanted to raise up their rents. We have been carrying them as a church for 4.5 years. Been very generous, been very gracious to them, in charging them $100 a month. which basically just covered the costs of our building. Didn't really do that when you count everything into it. In the last couple of years, we bumped it up to 150. I know we are price gouging, but we decided that it was time to kind of confront them with, you know, we need to have a little bit more towards helping to pay the mortgage of this property. And they didn't see it that way. And so they have left. But it's an amicable leaving. Another church has opened up their doors to them. And God is good. God is to be praised in all of it. That there is no animosity. But you know what? I tell you what. I, as a pastor, am so excited. Because if you see our classrooms, they're crowded. And we have a real need for our older children and our younger children. There's such an age difference between the two of them that we need another room and we need teachers to teach them. And guess what? We got Noble Hall back. It's all ours, so anytime that we have lunch on the grounds, guess what? We don't have to set up like a frenzy. We can get ready for it. You know, just as with this rummage sale, the stuff's still all down there and the tables are still all set up. But it's our building. God has blessed us with it, and I see a new working, a new beginning, a new history of Mountain Valley Church. And that God is bringing it. God's hand is upon it. And as He blessed us that day for the down payment for this building, so He is going to bless us in this ministry to reach far more. And this Vacation Bible School is the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. I asked Janet the other day, this is her first year of running a Vacation Bible School. And I asked her, I just got right in her face, and I said, Janet, how many kids are you praying for? And she went, what? And I said, Janet, how many children are you praying for us to affect with our Vacation Bible School? And she said, I don't know. She's just being real. And I appreciate that. I appreciate people not lying to me. You know, but just being truthful about it, that she hadn't really thought about that. I said, would you please start praying for a number? And God has revealed a number to her, right? You heard it from her. 50. 50 is the number, and if that prophecy comes true, that will be the largest Vacation Bible School that we will ever have run here at this church. But you know what? We are a church ready for the task. Amen? And let's go for it. Let's bless this community. Let's bless our children. If our children today, if the next generation doesn't pass, if this generation does not pass on to the next generation, Christianity is dead. It only takes one generation not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, not hearing the truth of that special relationship that you have to share with them, that it'll be lost. I don't want that generation to be lost. I hope you don't either. And I hope June 1st to the 5th, it will be one of the largest Vacation Bible Schools and that many children will be admitted into the kingdom of heaven because of it. Amen? So, in your bulletins today, and if not in your bulletins, then you also had a piece of paper. The kids were supposed to have a piece of paper that was supposed to be all theirs. And it was, I entitled it, a children's and adults activity page. Because today I want to, and I know it's pretty late already. So in closing, I want to give you these answers that are on this activity page. And, oh, I know the question, Kim. The question finally came to me. I kept looking at her all morning going, I've got a question for you. I just can't think of what it is. It finally just came to me. And I'll postpone it until next week, but kids, if you turn in these activity pages after church and you turn them in to me or Miss Kim, if you turn in those activity pages and they're all filled out with the right answers, we have a special blessing for you. Right?
Sure.
Yeah! Yeah! We play well together. Okay, so the answer to the first question. What Bible book is the pastor teaching from today? None of you have that answer just yet, right? Or do you? It's the book of Acts, right? Today I'm starting a new sermon series on the book of Acts, or as other Bible scholars have called it, it was the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the First Churches. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ being sent out into all of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It begins in Jerusalem. And the beginning of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit coming in to man and empowering man to do amazingly more than he could ever think or imagine. So the Bible book that the pastor is teaching from today is the book of Acts, or the book of the apostles, but that's kind of a big word. So a book of the Acts. Adults, you can help out with the spelling if you'd like. This book that was written by a man named Luke was actually his second volume. The first volume was the Gospel of Luke. And you see, Luke was not actually a disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke, instead, was a doctor, a physician, if you will. And he was a doctor who was brought up under the Greek teachings of medicine, not the Jewish ways of medicine. Why the difference? What difference does it make? Well, it was the Greeks that actually brought us. Y'all been in the doctor's offices and you've seen that picture of the man standing there like that, and you see all the organs and you see all the stuff all diagrammed out for you. That was done by the Greeks. They put all of that information together. But also, we know a little bit, and this is no knock on Jewish people, but the Jewish religion required their physicians to just treat the people. That the Jewish church would take care of the physicians. That they didn't do it for a wage, however, the Greek doctors. Thus, you know what system we're working under today. Right? It started in Greece. This book was written by Luke, and it was written in about 62 A.D. Why is it 62 A.D.? Well, because the temple, in the whole writing of the book of Acts, the temple was not destroyed yet, and that was destroyed in 70 A.D. Plus, it lines up with all of the teaching that Paul did, all the missionary trips that Paul did. Why? Because Luke accompanied Paul on all of his missionary trips, all three trips. Luke was there to document each and every trip that Paul took. So, the book of Acts is the record of the first 30 years of the church after Jesus went back to heaven. We got that? Now, if you'll take out your bulletins, and inside there you have a scripture passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, why did I include these two? Well, because in both of these openings of Luke's volumes, his historical volumes that he wrote them both to a person. A person's name is put there. However, we're going to discover that that wasn't just a person. Read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 and 4 for me, please. Together, 1, 2, 3, begin. Listen to each other and speak it together. Where are we at? Wait a minute, stop. We're all in different places right now. This also seemed okay, and now Acts chapter 1 and 2.
I wrote the first narrative about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen.
So Luke wrote his book to Theophilus. Theophilus, which means friend of God. Theo, God. Philos can be interpreted in either one of two ways. It can either be friend of God or lover of God. So as you look at that name, Theophilus, would you call yourself a Theophilus? Would you be a friend of God or would you be a lover of God? So in reality, if we can say yes to that answer, the book of Acts is actually written to us. It's a historical narrative that Luke, a physician, a doctor. Now do doctors take really good notes? Do they look really good in the history of things? So that they can have an understanding of what's going on with you. I mean, what's some of the first questions that a new doctor might ask you? Give me some of your past history, right? So what are some of the things, you know, would you please check these boxes if any of these conditions pertain to you, right? So a doctor tries to get a history about you. Well, in the same way, Luke, the physician, writes down the history of the works of Jesus Christ in his book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. It's all about what Jesus did, what Jesus said as he was here on this earth. And then the book of Acts is now a book about the apostles. But wait a minute.
If you call within the next 30 minutes, no.
It almost sounded like one of those PSA announcements. The book of Acts is actually another book of history about Jesus doing his work. Except Jesus is no longer on the earth. Instead, he is sitting at the right hand of God. And he is directing his work in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's now the working. So it's still the work of Christ in volume 2, the book of Acts. But that work of Christ is now being done through each and every one of our hands and feet. God is using us. So would you call yourself a Theophilus? Oh, please, I hope you do. And if not, please come and talk to me afterwards. I would love to introduce you to God so that you can be a friend of His and so that you could understand your relationship. Jesus paid it all. In fact, There are three essential beliefs about salvation that you need to know. And so I put them on a little business card. Again, a little wallet card for you to take with you or something to put up on your mirror. They're back on the back table. But these are the three essential beliefs about salvation. One, it's given by God. Number two, it's through Jesus Christ. Number three, it's to all people who believe. Salvation, it's given by God. It's through Jesus Christ to all people who believe. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, which is on the back side of your card to give you a scripture reference. Righteousness is from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to what? All who believe. There you go. So make sure you pick up those cards to remind yourself of what the gift of salvation is really all about and who gives it. Can I work for it then? Absolutely not. Do I do good works because I have it? Yes, I do. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit inspires me to do good works. But I can't work for my salvation. It's a free gift from God through Christ. So, can I lose salvation, Pastor? Not unless you stop believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You cannot lose salvation. Nail that truth down into your mind. Because so many people are walking around in this world going, well, I've lost my salvation. No, you have not. It's not something that you could work for or accomplish in your person at all. It was given to you by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's to all people who believe in what?
Oh, I believe in that I'll see the sun set tonight.
No! You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the one who died on the cross for your sins and my sins and the whole world's sins. He died for all sin, and there's no sin that He did not die for. But you need to confess them. You got to confess your sins unto Him. And if you need help with a particular sin that is overwhelming you over and over, then you confess your sin to another brother or another sister, and they hold you accountable so that you can grow up in your faith, in your most holy faith. That's what the church is about. That's why we're a family. We hold each other up in our knowledge of God and in our walk with Him as fellow believers. Did I start yelling? You got to understand something. Friday, I was riding my motorcycle. And in fact, I had just been in to see Bill and Judy Cobb. And I was on my way home, and I got behind this old Chevy truck. And other cars were passing because it was obviously having some mechanical problems. And I came up behind it, and being on a motorcycle, I didn't want to take that double yellow line pass thing. You know, and it looked like the truck started to lurch a little bit. And so I was like, okay, this thing's going to take off, and this guy's going to be like a rabbit. And though I have plenty of power on my motorcycle, I did not want to take that chance. But as I waited there, all of a sudden, the exhaust popped. And it was a loud backfire that has stunned my ears. Now, praise God, they prayed over me this morning in the prayer time, and I know God is going to restore my hearing. Amen. But right now, I feel like I'm talking in a paper bag. And my ears are ringing. But God is my healer. Amen. He is my Jehovah Rapha. And to Him, I hold up the health of these ears. Most importantly, I want to hear from Him. So Luke wrote the book of Luke, and the book of Acts. But what work was He known for doing? Kids, answer. Kimmy? He was a doctor. Is there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, do relieve this. No, wait a minute. Don't be singing that song. Luke was a doctor. And the two main people that Luke wrote about in the book of Acts were, they were a singing group minus Mary. Peter, Paul, and no Mary. at least in the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Luke, he wrote about Mary, right? And in fact, one of the things that I need you to understand about Luke is because he was of Greek thinking and wasn't so brainwashed about the Hebrews and it all had to be nothing but the men and the men and only the men. He was a Greek, and so he was opened up more toward the fact that the Holy Spirit fell upon men and women equally. That it wasn't just the men in the church that the Holy Spirit fell upon. He fell upon the man and the woman and the children equally. The Holy Spirit was given to all. And each and every one of us can be used of God. Amen? So the two main people that Paul, that Luke wrote about in the book of Acts were Peter and Paul. The very beginning of the book of Acts is all about Peter. Verses or chapters 1 to about chapter 10 is all about Peter and the work of the early church and the organization of the early church. And then he sprinkles in there occasionally, in fact, in chapter 5, he sprinkles in a story about Stephen, the martyr, who stands before the council, who is trying to tell him, Stephen, you cannot keep preaching about Jesus Christ. And he says, why not? And Stephen gives the greatest testimony about the history of the Jews in the Old Testament right up to present time. And he confronts them and says, why don't you believe this is your Messiah? This is the Son of God who was sent for our nation. Accept it. And instead, what did they do? They stoned him. And he became a martyr. And many people that took on the gospel message were martyred. Now, fork. Any of you seen a fork with only two tines? I do whenever I go out and barbecue. Right? Some of you kids might have seen one of those long forks and it only has two pointy ends on it. I want you to draw a fork with only two tines on it, with only two prongs on it. And on one of those prongs, I want you to write either in it or above it the name Peter, and on the other one, Paul. Because that's what the book of Acts is all about. It's the two-pronged efforts of the two major players in the very beginning history of the church, Peter and Paul. Now, Peter and the information that Luke puts together about Peter, it's all stuff that Luke hears from others. He hears from the testimony of those who walked with Jesus personally. And he records down everything that they have taught him. The book of Luke is mostly him interviewing Mark, the disciple of Christ. And the stories that Mark, but then he also intertwines some other thoughts from other people that he talked with who personally walked with Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Luke is about. Now the book of Acts is another thing. He interviews Peter and he interviews the apostles about what actually happened, and he records those things as history for us so that we can see the history of the very beginning church for the first 30 years. And then he goes into the missionary trips of Paul, three of them all together. And it's no longer a narrative. And in fact, if you will look at what he says, he goes, we experienced this. We went here. So Luke is with Paul in all of his missionary adventures. It's an exciting book. It's a book that we should really... I was never much on history in school. Stupid me. But this is the greatest historical book in the New Testament that could ever be because it spans from the four Gospels. It goes into the history of the very beginning of the movement of the way of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of the world. And it readies the plate to accept all the epistles that are written to those churches that are begun. So what better book could there be than the book of Acts to establish a good historical background for us? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that this book that we call a Bible was canonized. It was put together by men who feared you and who called out to you for divine intervention in what things should be included, what books should be included, what writings should be included in it, and what writings should not be, that they did not add to our knowledge of you. We thank you for this book of Acts and for Luke's precise way of recording the history of the very beginning church and the movement and the Spirit of God that propelled this great movement of the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the known world. Bless us, Lord God, as we look through this book. And let us live each and every day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you don't know God as your friend, I want to see you. I want to talk with you. Because I want to introduce you to him as your father, not as a religion. God bless each and every one of you.